Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
That's what it's about. Having fun.
You just say your fucking name. Run away! Run far away!
Wow, you're the first one to say something offensive this episode. So, what you're saying is it's problematic, huh?
I do not endorse this episode.
Theme song, The Fugitive, yes?
It was, yeah, from the Harrison Ford movie.
Okay.
Oh my God, right. I actually knew that one. That's so exciting. I started off and I was like, yeah, this is what it is. Who's going first? Hi, I'm Ben, your sunshine and Gotham, the baby brother, and this is the Brotherhood of Batman.
Jake, I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through.
And I'm Aaron. I'm the little son of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back into the Brotherhood of Batman podcast. We're three brothers who read Batman books, talk about the Dark Knight and everything related to that. So thank you for tuning back in. Welcome.
Welcome.
How's it going, gentlemen?
It's going good.
Good.
I've been on the run for so long, I'm getting real tired.
Yeah. I bet you have. What's been going on in your geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books or what do you think you're doing, nerd? Stop
spending. Get those nerds! Nerd! Nerd!
Or I swear to God,
geek.
You're gonna spend your 20 years alone.
Geek.
I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
I'll go first. I have a couple things. Real quick, I was texting you all yesterday a few pictures I found. I was bothering our parents, and they have like a, they just moved recently, so they got rid of a bunch of things, and they have boxes of photos that they still have. And I was like, can I change the pictures on your fridge? Because they let the grandchildren do that occasionally.
Oh, okay.
And as the resident non-grandchild providing person, I was like, I will do it myself. So I...
He's his own grandchild, isn't he?
Yeah. It's called code switching. So I had a lot of fun. I sent you guys a few pictures. There were some really funny, like... old comic book shirts, and there's a picture of Jake as a teenager in like a bright orange Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt.
Yeah.
You were wearing like ridiculous Hawaiian things all the time, Aaron.
Yeah, that's about right.
Back when you had hair. And
back in the day.
Yeah. But what was really cute about the pictures, I found a picture of you were a little baby, Aaron. You're like a little pirate with like a beard drawn on your face. And Rebecca was a terrifying Raggedy Annie. But our oldest sister, who actually listens to this, hi, Sarah Bonafetti.
She was on the show.
Yeah, she was. Was dressed as Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Which I thought was so cool, because she was like, oh, that's my favorite superhero. But it was cool to see, like, as a child, nice. She actually dressed like her for Halloween one year.
Oh, that's fun.
And these are, like, the late... mid to late 70s. And so it's, like, the creepy Halloween plastic masks.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
This is shit from like nightmare fuel right now. if kids went around trick or treating like this, they would be trying to be scary.
Yeah,
not
very
cute
that.
And fun.
No, yeah, it would be.
The Wonder Woman one was cuter than the Raggedy Ann. That was terrifying, but yes.
Can you imagine her slowly turning her head in that mask just to look at you?
It'd be like Megan or some other creepy horror movie.
Yes,
going on.
And the Raggedy Ann, I thought it was like a creepy scarecrow. It was horrifying. Yeah.
Very nice.
The other thing I had, Joshua and I went and saw The Marvels last night with Jake and Sarah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was super fun. I had watched the Miss Marvel TV show, and I'd seen Captain Marvel. So I had a general idea, and I'd seen WandaVision, which is where the third main character got her powers. It was a lot of fun. There was some musical moments that were surprising and silly, and I think it was one of the Marvel movies that kind of knew what its lane was. And
okay.
I think that those movies do better than ones that try to do too much. I think this one stuck mostly to the lighthearted, like, girl power comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And when it did that, it was successful.
Yeah. Okay. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. It was a fun movie. I would watch it again. I have missed a lot of the more recent Marvel stuff and am kind of exhausted by the multi-universe, multi-connected stuff and like the feeling of always being behind and having to spend so much time getting caught up has left me to be like, well, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, it was fun. I'm glad I saw it. I liked Captain Marvel in this more than I liked her in her other appearances so far. I thought this knew what her character was about and knew what to do with her.
Okay. Does Sam Jackson appear in this?
Yes.
Okay. That would make sense. He needs to show up.
You have a...
What about Goose the cat?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
You have a very diverse cast. It mostly all people of color and women. And, you know, it's not a muscle-bound white guy movie, which is nice.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, Miss Marvel, to no one's surprise, the teen character is a standout for me. I think that actress is really strong.
Did you watch that show?
I did.
We liked it.
Yeah, the show was fine.
Some of the CGI was a little questionable, but you know, it was rushed, I think. But the show wasn't bad. I thought she did good.
Yeah.
So I did not, and the Marvel's movie made me want to go back and watch her show. I liked her so much in the movie that I want to give her show some time.
And her family's a supporting cast of the movie.
Her family was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So yeah, I would definitely recommend it to anyone who likes a good superhero movie, likes a fun summery. It's not summer right now, but likes a summery movie or just...
It's nice to hear that it was decent because I hadn't heard much and I was kind of like, when you don't hear a lot, it kind of leads me to believe it's going to be a piece of crap. So I'm glad maybe it wasn't. So
well, and it's the kind of thing.
Check it out if I get a chance.
Go spend some money and see it in the theaters. It's going to be panned by the internet trolls just because of its diversity, and that shouldn't happen. It's not fair to that movie. Uh-huh. It deserves its time. So
yeah, fair. When the three main characters are female and two of them are not white, you're going to get a lot of internet people being like, "Boop boop 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 boop, my greasy hair."
Yeah, and I thought it. I mean. I thought
just
it was
back
better.
In your parents' basement, you little troll.
Right.
Well, that's where they type it from. So
yeah.
I thought it was better than some of the other Marvel stuff I've watched lately. So yeah.
Good deal.
Guys, strap in for some Zombicide Kickstarter updates as we record. Doo, doo, doo. Tuesday, Deceased goes live on Kickstarter for Zombicide. So I am very excited for that. I actually, the other night, read, while I was waiting for Ben to finish, these books.
Get out of my house! What do you want from me? I read them!
I read the...
I drove them to your house!
I read the Deceased trade paperback, which is fun. It's zombies in DC Universe.
Yep. And
it's a standalone. It isn't hinged on any other continuity, so it was a fun little read. So
nice. I think I have those single issues. I haven't gotten around to reading them yet.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Yeah,
it's good times. It's people, fun. You know, people biting, people killing.
That's recent-ish, right?
Yeah, the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, it's not too. I mean, it was the last few years.
Yeah, and they've done some spinoffs. There's now a DC versus vampires, which is they don't title anything Elseworlds anymore, but this is kind of their Elseworlds stuff. Like it doesn't change the regular continuity or anything.
Yeah, so. We'll have to maybe read some of those soon.
Well, I'll be talking about the game quite a bit. So
seems like a great thing to do a couple Halloweens from now.
That'll probably be about the time that it gets delivered. So
perfect. Geez, perfect. Yeah.
The last one took like a year. Oh no, it was almost 2 years to get. So
wow, that's a long time.
Yeah,
I've just been working on house stuff. Nothing real exciting in my life. So,
which will be done next time we record.
Although having hot water, like actual hot water and pressure, is almost worth the mess and the nonsense to actually be able to have.
I mean, that first like brand new shower had to be pretty nice, right?
It was pretty nice. I was still cursing the bills underneath the water flow, but I was like, okay, well, it's at least a little bit better.
Your tears went down the drain with the water.
Wait until he gets the new water bill. It's like double what it used to be.
Well, honestly, I don't think it will be because we're not running the shower for 20 minutes for it to heat up.
Fair.
It heats up in like 30 seconds. So, you know, I think it's probably going to be cheaper because we're not spending and wasting all this water to get it to get hot. So Hopefully. We'll see. I don't know.
Water that boils your skin off.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So that's in like 10, 20 years, you'll have made back the money you just spent?
Yes. Yeah. Perfect. That'll be right.
I did want to mention something from last week's episode that I forgot that are in my notes for it. Now I'm thinking about skin coming off. The inspiration for your Alfred tattoo was one of the covers from the books that we read last week.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Him going back to the manor and cleaning up after Bruce Wayne murdered someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That from one of the Gotham Knights issues.
Oh, nice. I don't think I realized that.
You don't know what your tattoo is?
No, I know what my tattoo is. I didn't realize that was part of the issue that we had read.
Drag him. Read him.
he apparently doesn't flip through the cover collection at the end of the book like we do, Ben.
I clocked that.
No, because I usually am trying to read it first to pass it off to you two delinquents.
It's right there.
Oh, yeah. It's right above the moment that I realized that it was credited to the wrong artist in there.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody cares about that one.
Anyways.
All right.
What did we read, Aaron?
Well, we read volume one of Bruce Wayne Fugitive. And there's an intro in here. I'm just going to read that to you as kind of the recap about what's happened and where we currently are. What has gone before? And it's got a nice little rest in peace, Vesper Catherine Fairchild up top. Little tune.
Catherine.
Bruce Wayne, billionaire socialite, has made more than his share of enemies ever since he fought to keep Gotham City functioning after the United States declared it a no man's land. With this in mind, Lucius Fox had a Wayne vast business empire hired Sasha Bordeaux as his bodyguard. Of course, Fox had no idea that his employer was secretly Batman. That's interesting. Gotham's staunchest defender, Sasha grew into a friend and then an ally, the latest in a line of people personally trained by the Dark Knight. She was at his side when, after a night protecting Gotham's citizens, the body of Vesper Fairchild was found in the foyer of Wayne Manor. In response to a 911 call, Gotham City Police kicked in the front door and found Wayne holding Fairchild's bloody body. The billionaire was arrested and held without bail as the city built its case against Wayne and Bordeaux. His allies, Nightwing, Robin, Oracle, and Batgirl, offer their assistance and are soundly rebuffed by Wayne, whose barely contained rage bubbles dangerously close to the surface. Meanwhile, Detectives Allen and Montoya, two of GCPD's best, begin their meticulous investigation. Wayne was found with a bullet-riddled body, and the evidence begins to mount. Videotape of Wayne buying a gun. Fairchild's called to 911, and her blood on his hands. Bordeaux turns down several plea bargain offers while standing by her employer, but Wayne's silence toward her is deafening. Equally annoyed by a silence towards them are Wayne's associates, who are shut out figuratively and literally when it's discovered that the Batcave has been locked up. In prison, things go from bad to worse when Wayne savagely beats three inmates who invade his cell to discipline the rich boy. We forgot to talk about that part. That was good. Sasha must also fight to retain her dignity in a place designed to strip it from you. As Oracle and Nightwing rule out the usual rogues who might be behind such a plot, Wayne's silence begins to nurture seeds of doubt among his closest friends. Their bond of loyalty to Batman is being tested, and that bond is strained even further when it's learned that Wayne has escaped from Blackgate Prison. Deep in the Batcave, Dick Grayson finally confronts Bruce Wayne, only to be angrily told that there is no Bruce Wayne, only Batman. But if there's no Bruce Wayne, then where does that leave a Grayson, whom Wayne had formally adopted only recently as his son? Words give way to fists, and a terrible fight breaks out between father and son. Finally, Batman leaves the cave and all of his surrogate family to battle on alone, just as they feared he would. All that's left for them to do is what he has taught them. Find the clues, study the facts, learn the truth.
Okay, so good job reading that, Aaron. A couple of things. Thank you so much for saying foyer and not foyer. And also, let's never do that reading again, because that just made us all sound incompetent.
I'm sorry.
It was so detailed. Like the inside of the book. Like, let's not read the inside of the books anymore, because it makes us sound stupid in our episodes.
In our recaps?
Yes.
It was about this, and what else was happening in that book?
My recaps would be great if you fuckers didn't interrupt me the whole time.
Okay,
that's
so anyways.
Where all the fun is.
Yeah, so we did read part one here. It was, starts off with Superman, because we have to get his opinion on things. And he's like, I'm not going to ask if you killed her, because I know you didn't. I'm like, thank you, Superman.
Yep. I love that Clark is in Grayson's camp of I trust you, didn't do this.
And I think that fits with Superman's character. Like, I'm going to believe you did this until there's irrefutable whatever that you did.
Yeah, he believes in his friend. And he doesn't understand why Batman won't try to clear Bruce Wayne's name.
I have no name to clear.
Yeah, which is really the point of the main thing of this book is something we've talked about a lot in this podcast. Yeah. Bruce Wayne is the mask. Bruce Wayne mm-hmm. is not real. And Bruce, Batman, tries to convince his loved ones, hey, that was never me. I'm a bat. Tweet, tweet, flap, flap. And they're like, fuck you. You are Bruce. You're both. We love Bruce. And you're dismissing us.
Yes.
By dismissing yourself. This was some good, like, therapy shit that he needs to get to the whole damn podcast.
Well, and it you hate Batman. And
I don't really. I mean, let's continue that narrative. Yes, I hate Batman.
But this lets the reader hate Batman. Like, it's yes. clear that he is wrong.
Why do you yeah. think I liked it?
And it lets you explore his supporting cast uh-huh. and their belief system or their skill set by them trying to say, you know, you're a fucking asshole, let us help you, and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. I love that we had Superman, and I love that we have Clark, and I love that he trusts him, and everything about it. Like, that he doesn't understand why he wouldn't want to... Batman explains to him, which he doesn't... He tries to blow him off, and Superman just, you know, with speed of a blink is in front of him at every turn, and... He's not pressuring them into a fight, which this could have mm-hmm. easily been gone down that route of easy writing them into battling. And it's just two friends where one friend is trying to be compassionate and, hey, talk to me and let mm-hmm. me in. And everyone's like, I don't need any help.
Right. Superman, and he leaves and he's like, okay, I'm here if you need me. Good luck.
Bruce.
Bye.
He Bruce. Still calls
yeah,
him
still
Bruce.
Calls him Bruce.
Which is... Clark's way of being a dick, which I love.
Which I love that. Yeah, I love that too. Yeah, he's being an ass.
It's like, I'm not going to respect your name change.
So then we have Alfred. It goes straight from yes. that to Alfred cleaning the Batcave, trying to find something to do. And there's a giant file. Ooh, just sitting there. Just happenstance that this file about Bruce Wayne is just sitting there.
Well, where it is, Aaron, is on top of Batman's recycling bin.
The shredder.
Because Batman also recycles. It's good to note here.
Batman doesn't recycle shit. Alfred recycles.
He cares enough to label it the Bat Recycler. So it's not
Holy
really
Bat Recycler.
It is labeled recycling, though.
So there's Alfred is like quoting, I wrote down it, he's quoting King Lear, the Shakespeare play. As he's reading, and the summary of that play is basically the king divides his kingdom, snubs his daughter, goes mad, there's a storm, and everyone dies. So it's kind of interesting, kind of like...
One of Shakespeare's happy plays.
Yeah, one of his happy ones. So it's kind of like, okay, I can see some relation to the storyline about things happening and how Alfred is like, I'm just going to use my British, like, just recite Shakespeare to myself as I clean the cave and just puzzle and make those, I don't know, whatever Alfred-y connections he's making.
It takes him a while. He has some conscious issues or his consciousness about whether or not he's going to read the journal. And he doesn't, and he walks away, and he keeps going back. And then finally he does sit down and reads it.
He knew he was going to. He
Batman walks in on him, right? And he doesn't try to lie. He doesn't try to cover up. He's like, I'm worried about you, so I read it. And Batman's like, those were Bruce Wayne's journals. That they don't matter anymore.
Yeah, he's going full ventriloquist, Scarface, like... Clearly yes. unhinged double personalities, Harvey Dent shit.
Yeah. I wrote down, he seems like a toddler refusing to take off his Halloween costume because it's a security blanket.
Yes. It absolutely
I'm a cow now.
Which, in the brilliance of the story, makes everybody more doubtful and worried, right? They're like, Batman couldn't do it, but maybe he's so separated from Bruce Wayne that Bruce could have.
Yep. Is he trying to convince them that he did do it?
Not,
to let them leave him alone?
I don't know. He's fucking crazy.
Batshit crazy. Speaking of toddlers and Halloween costumes, one of the pictures I found yesterday going through mom and dad's stuff was me dressed like a bat. And that was the last time I cared about Batman. I'm just kidding. Flap, flap. Then we go into a Birds of Prey issue, and Birds of Prey, Aaron, I'm sure you're super excited, has Black Canary. Oh, you want to hear my canary cry? So we got Birds of they take off their headphones. So, Bert, we got Diana. No,
you have
Dinah.
To edit that out. That will break people's speakers.
We got Dinah. Black Canary and Oracle. And Oracle sends her on an undercover mission.
Yeah, and Black Canary's a fucking moron and can't even do that job.
She doesn't know that Bruce is Batman? Is that
apparently not
what we're learning? I was surprised by that because Black Canary has been around forever.
Yeah, she's a founding Justice League member.
Right. So she goes undercover. That one was kind of fun. Birds of Prey is sort of like DC's Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, that's 100% what that is.
Yeah. What she's trying to do is go into the bank and get Vesper's safety deposit box because there are additional journals in there. And once she's able to obtain them and get them to Oracle, we find out that the ones that they have been looking at were doctored.
Mm-hmm.
And
Vesper didn't know anything about
Batman. Wasn't as close as those were led to believe. So doctoring her documents for the Bat family to find, whoever put this frame job up knows who Batman is, knows how to manipulate all of the family.
Do you know who
him.
Is behind everything?
I don't. I haven't read this.
Okay.
Awesome.
I
all
don't
right,
either. Yeah, exactly. So they start off thinking like who they're like, it has to be someone who knows Bruce is Batman. So they look at Bane. They look at They look at Bane.
I was in Marchal.
They look at Ra's al Ghul, which are both people
I
that
don't have a Ra's al Ghul voice.
It's the guy from the Titanic.
I think we just need to take off your shirt and grab a sword and just call it a day.
Clang, 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 clang.
Detective.
Yeah. So they think about those two, and those two had crossed my mind. No, Bane didn't cross my mind because I was like, we've seen enough of him lately.
Damn it, I'll blow you all up.
So I'm wondering, is this some like Hugo Strange shenanigans?
Yeah, we haven't hit him in a long time.
I hope it's not a new person, but I fear that it might be.
Yeah, I mean, Ra's was my gut, but then I was like, Ra's kind of wants Batman and to know who he is and what he's doing. And
put it to his daughter.
Right.
So right now, I still think it points most to Ra's because if he can get rid of Bruce Wayne, then maybe he can bring out Batman to be the heir that he's always been trying to make him. That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. And as we find out in this book, like what it took to put this frame job together is what the Bat family is investigating.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty well put together cover-up scheme or frame job.
Yeah.
We find out in this one that whoever had done it, which maybe there's more than one person, had broken into the Batcave multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of fun we looked back at the holes in the cave and all the different entranceways, and they kind of mentioned back with No Man's Land having to break back into the cave and
I thought that was cool. Dick and Alfred are like mapping out the system, and they figure out like they release like a color-coded smoke that you can only see with infrared light or whatever.
Tim's idea.
Yeah, and they all work together to try to figure out where are the holes in the cave system, and which makes it seem like it's a pretty detailed, mapped out like property. Like, and ends up being this barn on one end of the property that they could get into or whatever. And I'm like, man, how big is your damn wall?
Well, it's like a fucking island, right?
Right.
But what I love leading into that is they were locked out of the Batcave, right? And so we've already seen Alfred going in and out of the Batcave. But at some point in time, Bruce locked Dick and Tim and all them out of there. And Alfred comes upon Dick in the mansion trying to go through the clock. And he's like, my passcode doesn't work. And Alfred's like, oh, mine doesn't either. And Dick's like, Alfred, come on. He's like, oh, all right. And then lets them all in.
Yeah. And at this point, Dick and Tim are able to work together despite they still not necessarily agreeing about his innocent level. So, yeah, there's this book is really Bat Family, which is probably why I liked it.
What did you think of Dick and Batgirl? trying to figure out the bruises
this
and how
I
they
didn't
recreate
like.
The. Yeah, I didn't think you would.
This is the moment that I'm like, this feels unnecessarily violent towards women. And so I like Batgirl's skill level here. I like that she's OP because she. Her weakness is she's learning how to be a human. And so you can make her this unstoppable fighting machine. And she's like backing away from the punches and all this while Dick is reenacting beating a woman to death. Don't love that. Don't love that at all. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, okay, I like her thought process. And I like that she takes the moment to be like, I'm going to let him hit me because I'm curious about something. And he hits me and he's like, oh shit, didn't mean to hit you. And she's like, okay, well, I saw her bruises because we dug her up, which is creepy, mm-hmm. and we can talk about that in a second. But she's like, you, the way you hit me as Nightwing, as this strong guy who's a good fighter, you didn't hit me as hard as her bruises were. So that means something. And so they detective their way through it, which is kind of cool, her learning how to detective.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they found out upon she exhumed the body and regretted that. But it did lead her to the realization that Vesper was attacked by somebody who knew how to do like a nerve strike.
Yeah.
because she knocks out Stephanie, which I did like.
Maybe it was Spock.
So this is a little backwards and forwards. I want to talk about Batgirl real quick because we skipped some Batgirl issues on purpose because they are too sporadic. But they are important for Batgirl going forward. And I don't want to lead into this saying that maybe this is who's framing Batman. I don't want to talk about it that way. Only that it's very important for Batgirl's future story. Okay. So they mention in these issues, oh, you beat Lady Shiva.
Yes.
And nobody had ever beaten Lady Shiva.
Hand to hand.
Even Batman himself. She is the greatest assassin, greatest martial artist, and she's super deadly. So we found out when we read Batgirl Volume 1 that in order for her to get her speech and unlock that part of her brain, it devolved her skills of reading people physically, right? And so she goes back into training after that with Batman. He's like, it's going to take you a year to be good again. It's going to take you 10 years to be as good as me again. And she's like, I don't want to do this for 10 years. Like, I don't want to be mediocre. So she finds out that nobody has ever beaten Lady Shiva, and she goes to challenge Lady Shiva and gets her ass kicked, gets her ass handed to her. She goes back and finds Lady Shiva again and says, I saw while you were fighting me that you can do what I used to be able to do, and I want you to teach me. And so Lady Shiva agrees only on the situation that within 1 year of them finishing the training or starting the training, I can't remember, that the two of them will have a fight to the death.
Oh.
And so Batgirl decides.
I kind of want to read this.
Fights to the death are good.
I thought it would be great to read, but it's in like four issues sporadically.
We are not going back. But it's intriguing. And if Aaron and I both are like, oh, then it sounds like, yeah, cool.
So for like a year of her publication, she knows this death match is coming and she doesn't tell anybody about it, but Oracle and Batman know about it. And so yada, 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 that's her backstory. So she ends up facing Lady Shiva again at the year culmination, and Lady Shiva kills her and then brings her right back to life. And you find out that she did it because she thinks that Cassandra has the ability to maybe one day beat her, and she has her own kind of death wish kind of thing. So there's this real big connection between Lady Shiva and Cassandra Cain, and that will become important.
So when does Batgirl beat her?
So
when she brings her
when
back
she,
to life.
Yeah, when she wakes her up, then...
She's like, haha, I tricked you, meant to die.
They immediately have another fight. And Batgirl doesn't kill her, and she was like, if you don't kill me now, I'm going to come back and kill you later. And she's like, well, we'll deal with that when we deal with it.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know any of that.
So as we move on with Cassandra, okay. That is important for her, but it was too choppy for us to put in the show. So
that's and fine. Her continued growing relationship with Stephanie is important as well, because they're... One of them is like Batman's weapon, and one of them is, oh, I'm going to use you as a weapon against him, but I don't really respect you or think you're good at anything. So I enjoy their interactions.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they both go and wind Oracle, which I think is funny. Because, like,
they're the little sisters.
It shows how young they both are when you involve the original OG Batgirl. So.
Yeah.
So that's why in this issue, Batman actually shows up. Like, he's out doing his Batman thing and only his Batman thing. But right. He takes time out to go talk to Cassandra as Batgirl and tell her, like, congratulations for beating Lady Shiva. Like, good job. Like, which was a weird thing for everybody to realize.
So happened. Are you saying he hasn't 100% committed to just being Batman? That there still might be part of Bruce left in him, Jake? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think there's ever been part of Bruce.
Well... So we had Nightwing and Batgirl. They're figuring out how this person who framed Bruce Batman got into the cave. Not only did they manipulate Vesper's journals, they also changed Bruce's journals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just messing with everything. And it's just giving us a little bit of details here and there. But one of the big things, they confront Bruce about buying the gun and whether that was duped or faked, and he's like, no, I bought it, but he doesn't tell him why.
We better have a payoff for why he bought it.
I fear that we will not.
I know.
My faith in...
I feel like it's gonna be one panel on the last like two pages of the sum up. Yeah, I bought it because of this,
and maybe that'll be a pretty little red bow around the gun and like, here, what's her face, Sasha, goodbye.
The one negative of this book that I had, and it's the first one in the two volumes so far, was we get Selina and Batman.
Yeah.
And she was only used as like a courier to deliver the message from Leslie that she mm-hmm. wanted to talk to Batman. There was no discussion about what had happened. She doesn't know at this point that Batman and Bruce are one and the same. She does not.
Supposedly. Yeah. Just like Joker, supposedly. Yeah. Doesn't.
Yes.
That all crossed my mind, Jake. And then I was like, wait, if she doesn't know and he's just running around as Batman, all she would notice is that he's being a little more violent and that he maybe wasn't on the streets for a while. But he was locked up for, what, 3 months?
No.
There's a point in this book where they say it's been 3 months since the murder.
No, 3 nights maybe.
No,
he was in the prison for a while.
There's multiple times where they say weeks have gone by, and then there is a point where they literally say 3 months. I don't know if it was 3 months and then he escaped, or if he escaped like a week and a half, or like a month and a half into that. But this book definitely says 3 months since the murder.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I bet he was in prison for at least a month.
Really?
Yeah,
I missed that.
Trials do not go quick, and the arraignments and all that stuff. If he's held without bail, it's not going to be a quick process. And yeah,
wow,
he's been in there
that.
A while.
Which is wild if you continuity, as we know, is bonkers.
Oh yeah.
But if you look at like how long he's been Batman, this is a fourth of a year. That he has been either out of commission, or at least Bruce Wayne has been out of commission.
Well, they put a lot of dates in these two books. Like, he's only been Batman for 10 years, mm-hmm. according to these stories.
Right, but now it's 10 years and a fourth. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, the timeline of it.
And that's okay. I mean, you got to fudge it a little bit.
It's just of course. Such a busy 10 years.
Yeah. So, Catwoman confronts him, says, Leslie needs to see you. We talked about that, like, Leslie sees both Selina and Bruce, and she's not like, those are her two nutty patients.
Yeah, and JPZ.
Yeah,
JPV. Jump over. Yeah,
yeah,
B.
Yeah.
Thank God he's not in this. Maybe that's why I liked it.
No, that might be. Yeah. So she Leslie tells him that Gary Sloan wants to see him, and is that the first time we've heard the name Gary Sloan?
Gary Oldman.
Not Gary Oldman.
It didn't sound familiar to me.
Yeah. So we find out this is the detective that was responsible for investigating Bruce's parents' murder.
Yeah.
That was interesting, and he kind of got through to him a little bit, talking about, like, seeing Bruce's face or whatever.
Yeah, as Batman, and he's probably had to maybe he's got, like, auto-tear removal system in the cowl so that it doesn't shine through. But he asked Batman to investigate and solve the Wayne's murders.
Because it was the only case he left unfinished.
And I guess he's on, like, probably, what, cancer or something?
Yeah,
we didn't know.
It seemed like
dying.
He's, like, coughing. He's like, don't smoke.
Yeah.
And so that realization of I am having a hard time putting it into words of how Bruce went through the thinking, but the fact that there was a boy who was changed from a murder, and it affected this
detective or officer,
and now Bruce Wayne, the same boy, is accused of murder. What does that say for the general public of Gotham? And he sees a little boy in the window, and he thinks about himself. And if I leave that identity, if I leave Bruce Wayne's reputation as being the murderer who ran away, what justice does that do for my parents and my family's legacy?
Because all of Bruce's backstory about his parents being murdered, that's all through the news and everything going on because he's on trial.
Yeah.
And he's escaped, and now it's like you don't escape unless you're guilty, or you're escaping because you're so presumed guilty that you have no avenue to protect or redeem yourself or avenge your name without being able to do it yourself because no one trusts in you.
Right? So I'm torn. I like that the person who gets through to him is this, you know, this person that's tied to the murder of his parents. I don't like that it's someone we've never heard of before. I'm like, you have Alfred and Dick and Barbara and all these people, and you are gonna, the moment's gonna happen because of some guy that we've never met as a reader. That annoyed me a little, but I like the idea of bringing this guy in.
I think if you had wanted a major moment of somebody who existed, this could have been used to maybe bring Gordon back into the fold and have him be a part of this story of, you know, not necessarily calling Batman out as Bruce Wayne to his face, but being like, you know what other case went unsolved and, you know, people suffered because of it.
I would have loved that, especially because we've been reading all this, just thinking Gordon knows, or believing Gordon knows. But I think DC wouldn't boldly state that because that really is showing that he
knows. And I am pretty sure Gordon wants Batman to fail and be removed so that the Roadrunner can have his moment in the sun. Yeah.
God.
Anyway. But yeah, we don't have a lot of resolution here. We have a lot more figured out. The trail is not cold. It's heating up for the Bat family. And it ends with Bruce, not Batman.
Yeah,
he's got the cowl off, and he contacts Oracle and says, I need you to find something out for me.
She's like,
this
wait, who?
Is Bruce. What? Who am I got?
Does he say, this is Bruce?
Yeah, he says, this is Bruce. I need you to run some info for me. And that's how it ends. And I like that. And I like that we've got, he hasn't so far gone that he's not forgetting who he is.
I think the thing I'm not so we have two more volumes of Bruce Wayne Fugitive, but the thing I'm not looking forward to is like the issue long that we're going to have to go through of him apologizing to fucking everybody.
He's
like,
not going to apologize.
Is he? Is he going to apologize, Jake?
No.
He's going to be like, thanks.
He'll apologize to like Alfred. Like it'll be one person or like.
I mean, he owes Dick the biggest apology so far. Son. He's got to call him son.
Dicky Poo, honey boy.
Well, what'd you guys think? Did you like this?
Dicky boy.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I really liked the crime, trying to figure out something. I think it's actually like really the last one we read in this one, really heavy on the detective aspect.
Yeah.
Which I think has been missing a lot of times from the Batman stories. Yeah, I have zero idea who it is. They've ruled out some people, so I'm excited that it's not clear.
It still might be me.
I like that it's not clear who it is yet, but I'm really hoping that it's a logical name and not somebody that they've just fabricated to fabricate a name.
Yeah, I'm still invested. I didn't hate this one either. So yeah, I'm excited to read the next two. Hopefully it pays off.
Yeah.
So what would you guys think? And I wasn't reading Batman Monthly when this came out, but we're at, between these two trade paperbacks now, we have covered four issues, so 4 months of Batman and Detective Comics. What would you think about the pacing of that if you were reading it week to week, or month to, not week to week, month to month?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because the last book was... You commented on how it was pieced together really well.
Yes.
From all of them. So I think it would have been a challenge to go find out all those separate issues of the Bat Family story to make it be complete. So it might have been one where I had known, and I might have, you know, tried to collect a bunch and then read, okay, I'm going to read these 2 months together, kind of as like a serial, and then I'll wait till the next couple come out, and that way I can go back and piece together. But it might also would have been fun to possibly just like make notes and be like, okay, here's the clues, here's the notes that I've read from this one, and try to piece it together as though you're actually trying to solve it as well.
I think it speaks a lot to just the general, like, that question is good for this specifically, but it also just comics in general. Like, there, I feel of the three of us, I might be the one that reads monthly to monthly the most. When
probably
not every book,
I don't at all.
Not well, you used to not yes. every, but I, if I'm buying books monthly, there are some that I'm excited to read and I read them then, and I don't go back and I don't do the trade. So I, my interest level, part of it is how much I actually care. Mm-hmm. So like if a book loses interest, I might keep buying it and putting it in my little shelf. But if I want to read it, then it's based on the writer doing a good job of like a little bit of like previously in the first page mm-hmm. or whatever. So I think it would have really mattered here. And this is an era where Batman just be crossing over all the damn time. So here you've got to get, there's more, like there are more books now out than there were during No Man's Land. So right. now we've got Birds of Prey. Now we got Batgirl. Like mm-hmm. there's more crossovers here than there were then. So this one would probably be intimidating. If I was trying to read this book, I would probably be like, ugh, that's buying like 12 freaking books mm-hmm. a month.
Oh, the first trade is 14 issues that were pulled from.
Yeah.
And so I think so much of the credit has to go to the collected version that these are. These aren't an omnibus where they have every page of every issue right, put right. in and every side. They pick and chose what to put in to tell the story. And I think that it does really well in this format. When I was thinking about it, like there's a couple of these that are two pages from an issue. And if I had to read that whole other issue just to get those two mm-hmm. pages out, I would have disconnected myself from the story completely.
Especially if that was a comic that you weren't collecting.
Yeah. And right now, like I love the Bat Family and everything, but back then I would not have bought Batgirl and Robin and
no,
all the
you
other
probably
issues.
Wouldn't have been... I feel like they did, whoever edited those and put them together in trade did a really good job.
Yeah, and that's not always the case with especially DC's yeah. trades or even Batman. When you're trying to do eight different tie-ins, like I think it's hard to miss. And I really think the credit goes to these two collections so far of getting it right.
Right.
So I'll say what's next. Someone ask me.
What's next, Ben?
Well, we're going to do Bruce Wayne Fugitive Part 2.
Woo. And what's after that? It'd be
Part 3. No, that then we are going to interrupt with Superman. No. Yeah. Oh. Aaron, what did we learn?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, hey, that was never me. I'm a bat. Flap, flap. Tweet, tweet.
For the Brotherhood Batman, I'm Ben, your sunshine and Gotham and the baby brother.
Jake, the Miller brother. Thanks for listening.
I'm Aaron. I'm the little side of us. I'll clean us up. Bye.
Toodaloo. That was weird. I always say goodbye last.
Hopes of bitties, plants, this city's way.